Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where one big NBA game of the night is over, and then the big game of the night can begin in about 10 minutes. We got
Cleveland!
Gonzaga and... No, come on, stop. Got Gonzaga and UCLA on the way in about 10, but Knicks, yo. Knicks beat
so
the Lakers.
Again.
106 to 100. And the shocking part of this is that it's a two-score game. The Lakers miss a three with about 25 seconds left to go. Knicks get the rebound. We just watched Julius Randle miss a free throw. And the Lakers don't foul. And the Knicks just dribble out the clock, and that's it. I mean, they let the clock go all the way down. They don't foul. And the Knicks win it 106 to 100. When clearly, look, the Lakers had done a lot to cut it to five in the last minute. And then they missed that shot. And okay, probably that's going to do it. You figure, okay, you're down six. But they didn't even try to send the Knicks, even to try to make one. What did you send Julius Randle? What did he miss his two? I mean, Julius Randle is not a great free throw shooter. He was one out of five tonight. He's five out of eight tonight. He misses a couple. I was a little surprised. Not that it would have mattered, but that the Lakers just decided, okay, you know what, we're done, and we're walking away. And the Knicks win, and they improve to 18-2 on the season, Mike Harmon. This is a big start for the Knicks.
I think you're living in an alternate universe. I get it, it's a holiday week, but, I mean, you are not part of any time heists or Spider Verses or the MCU where you can do some crazy stuff. Your team is 10-8. That's good. It's good. You're above 500.
It's basically
18-2.
10-8, 18-2. It's basically the same.
It's about right.
Yeah, it's about the same.
See, I think the strategy on the other end, and I say this all tongue firmly planted in cheek, down the stretch, seeing as the Lakers couldn't hit a free throw to save their souls, 21-30, I would have just started following them on possession. Look, you're not even getting a three up.
We're going to send you to the line.
How about
you
that?
You guys are 21 out of 30.
Pressure out of here. Anthony Davis, you're on the line. Let's go. But, yeah, I mean, your Knicks... Good, hard-fought win. Got to watch the end of that. Got a bunch of college buckets ready. The big screen here down in Orlando as we get ready for this UCLA-Gonzaga game. Absolutely huge. I don't know that they're going to feed me the Mavericks and the Clippers, and I don't think they need to.
I don't think you'll get that. No, you need UCLA-Gonzaga. Hopefully, you need UCLA-Gonzaga. I mean, this I can't wait for. I mean, this is like getting a Final Four game in the middle of November. This is like one. This is the extended Adult Swim. Right? This is found money. We're getting a one versus two game here in the middle of November. This is all you need. And you got Drew Timmy, who is fast becoming one of the most revered, respected, and hated players in college basketball because of all the... He's always making muscles after he scores, or he's blowing kisses to the crowd.
You know, those are 15-yard penalties in the NFL.
He is so bleeping entertaining, man. It is so much fun. And, you know, he's giving you a chance to root against Gonzaga. Because before it's like, Gonzaga, they're fun. They're a little engine that could. Look at that. Now Drew Timmy is probably going to be the player of the year. And NBA teams are salivating going, I can't wait to run my offense through this kid. This is going to be awesome. You know, and he's become somebody that maybe I don't like Gonzaga because I don't like all the muscles and all the stuff and all the stuff. He's giving Gonzaga a little bit of an identity there. I kind of like that. I kind of
dig
it.
The end, I mean, they're not the likable cute little thing they were for 5 years, 15 years ago. Been a legitimate program.
Oh, no, they've been cute and likable all the way up until a couple years ago. They've always been cute and likable. They've always been.
Because for casual folks coming back in, they'd never heard of it. So they didn't realize, is this a new squad on the scene? No. Actually, really, they've been quite good for quite a while. But, you know, waiting on those breakthrough moments. And obviously, you need that... player with character and panache to take you over and get the gums flapping in a whole other way. And that's what we got tonight. I mean, as you got Juzang comes back. NIL, very appealing. And now we get a 1-2. I mean, sign me up. In a day full of really strange NFL occurrences, your Knicks playing the Lakers. And
look at that.
The Lakers are what they are.
Boy, it's, you know, the big takeaways from this game is looking at watching the Lakers and the Knicks is that the Lakers seem to be rapidly realizing the vision they had may not come to fruition, whether it's the combination of LeBron's absences or just the pieces not fitting exactly how the general manager, LeBron James, thought they were going to fit together. And so now there could be a little bit of panic, which is why I say the narrative has flipped from when will they get it going to how long will they let it go until they make a big move and blow it up. And for the Knicks, it's, you know, look, they play well, they win, then they play other games and they're not motivated as much. But the one thing I see here is that, boy, how many nights do I have to sit here and watch Kemba Walker, who they brought in strictly to score, finish with 6 points on 2 of 6 shooting? It's like every game for him. I mean, they didn't pay him a lot of money. They kind of took a chance on him, but man, I was expecting more than this out of Kemba Walker. I mean, he had a 26-point explosion about a week and a half ago. I mean, his point totals are 4, 5, 8, 2, 16, 5, 9, 7, 6. He is just not doing anything after a decent start to the beginning of the season. And that's the real thing for the Knicks is that, boy, you were counting on him and Evan Fournier to come in and be big, and Kemba Walker's invisible the last month. It's a little concerning.
Well, the way you read those numbers off, it sounded like a lot of hitters in the 80s. And that one outlier, it's like, hey, that's 1987. I know that year anywhere.
Yeah.
Look it up, people. Everybody hit home runs in 1987. That was the back of the baseball card fund that we had all those years ago. But yes, Kemba Walker, obviously you're expecting and anticipating more. I just go from the other side. I mean, because let's face it, the Lakers are far more interesting than your Knicks, buddy.
I mean, oh, listen, the Knicks will be, when we get to the playoffs, the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's go New York, go New York, go. Yeah, no, then it's going to be great.
Well, you guys will lose your minds if you win one game in the playoffs. We saw it last year. Yeah. So now that's the buildup. That's the expectation.
Jumping, we win two games
cars,
this year.
It looks like the end of the damn Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix after one win in the postseason. That's what you got. You got fire, cars on fire, people in the streets dancing all over the place. But for the Lakers, you know, and for the NBA as a whole, I understand, you know, the LeBron James, you know, health-wise, still some concerns, but also you had the suspension, and reportedly he reached out to Stewart and tried to talk to him.
Yeah.
How do you not just say, all right, he's put in an appeal that we're going to review. Hey, LeBron, go play in the Garden.
Oh, that game's on. Oh, that is on national TV.
No,
oh,
I mean,
missed
I'm
that.
I'm calling it what it is, man. How things get manipulated and turned around and changed all the time. Like, really? You couldn't make him available here and then just not let him play against the Pacers?
No. We got Melo. That's all we need. We got Melo. You're playing on both teams. It's great. No, look, but that's the issue for the Lakers is LeBron is still banged up. Well, obviously, he doesn't play tonight because of the suspension. But, you know, he's still banged up, and they're still trying to figure things out. When, how long do they let this go? That's the narrative now. Is it going to be through Christmas? Is it going to be before then? Is it going to be in the middle of January? Is it going to be February before the trade deadline? If things go really bad, like if they meander around 500 for a while, I think they'll let it go. But if they suddenly see things potentially slipping away, and instead of, let's say, you know, 20 and 21, they're 15 and 24, yeah, I think you're going to see some moves sooner rather than later. But the narrative on that Lakers team has flipped, and that's the biggest thing. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. But we get the latest college football poll, playoff poll is out, and congratulations, Cincinnati now is
baby.
In pole position to make the CFP top four, as they have joined Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama in the latest poll. Michigan is just outside. And now the conversation about Cincinnati, 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 Cincinnati. Everything is getting clear. everything is becoming clear, because this is cutting through and taking over as the story of the college football playoff. Will you let a non-Power 5 team in to play for the national championship? That's become the story of the playoff now. And I got news for you. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to figure this out, and there's one thing that they need more than anything else, right? So let's go through the scenarios here, because I can do exactly what all these college football writers get paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do all that. Here are the two. I can tell you exactly how this is going to come down. All right, let's go under the assumption that things go as scripted, because the more chaos there is, the more likely that Cincinnati's going to get in anyway, right? But let's go under the assumption that we see the teams win who are going to win this weekend in the final week, and then they go to play for the conference championship. There is no way the committee, when it comes down to it, is going to take an undefeated Cincinnati over a one-loss Power 5 conference team. That's just not going to happen. It's nice they're up there right now, and you heard them. You heard the committee talking about how impressive the win continues to be against Notre Dame. I'm going to sit here and go, really? You know, they played other games and didn't look good. But let's keep focusing on that Notre Dame game.
But they beat Notre Dame, and that's Barta and everybody. They're going to pound. They're bringing out every drum that they possibly could and every trumpeter. Let's like make that the only game that matters season.
Like it's the only game they played, right? That's it. All the other, what about the games they didn't look good, like, you know, five of their six other games? No, it doesn't matter. They beat Notre Dame. So let's go under that assumption that an undefeated Cincinnati is not going to get in over a one-loss Power 5 team. Because when it comes down to it, at the end, Cincinnati's not going to have a win that's going to result in the same thing as Michigan or Ohio State winning the Big 10 or the Big 12 champion, whoever that winds up being, as long as it's a team with one loss, getting in ahead of them, right? So they're going to get in ahead. Now, here's exactly what Cincinnati needs. You can hope for a little bit of chaos in the Big 12 because it's really down to three teams. You have Bedlam this weekend with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Baylor is in the mix, and depending who wins there, you're going to see a matchup of a couple of those teams, right? Depending on if Oklahoma wins, Oklahoma State and Baylor, that's how you're going to see those teams playing for the Big 12 championship. Now, if one of those teams wins with one loss, that does it. Now, if you're talking about a two-loss team wins, that does it for – that'll pretty much do it for Cincinnati, and they'll be in the playoff. But you got to hope that there's – you got to hope that after this weekend, the team who wins, whether it's Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, loses in the Big 12 championship game. So that's kind of – it could happen. But the biggest thing they need is they need Alabama to lose in the SEC title game. Mm-hmm. Because if Georgia wins and Alabama loses, that'll pretty much do it. Cincinnati can pop champagne. They're in. But if Alabama wins, that screws a lot of people because that's now two spots that are going to SEC teams. Because Georgia ain't jumping out of the top four. They've been the best team all season long. A one-loss Alabama team with a win over Georgia is in. The Big Ten champion, Ohio State or Michigan, likely Ohio State. But as long as they win the Big Ten championship, they're getting in with one loss. So now it's down to, boy, you better hope that Cincinnati at four is looking that you're facing them up against a Big 12 team with two losses. Because if that doesn't happen, guess what? Cincinnati's out. So it's getting pretty simple that the biggest thing they need is they need an Alabama loss. Because if Alabama loses, that opens the door for them. And then as long as they take care of business, there's nobody else who's going to jump in and leap in, right? Because then even if you do have the one-loss team from the Big 12, then it doesn't matter because they're getting that fourth slot, your Big 10 champion, Cincinnati, and Georgia. So those are the two things they need most. You need chaos in the Big 12 a little bit, but that Alabama loss against Georgia is really what you need. If they get one of those things to happen, Cincinnati's into the playoff. But they definitely need one of those things to happen, because if those things don't happen, they're going to be on the outside looking in.
See, you're leaving one team out, and that's the team they beat. And as we know with this committee, head to head doesn't always matter.
Yeah,
on a week-to-week basis,
it changes. If you're Gary Barta, if you're Gary Barta, you're saying the committee chair is looking at how impressive this win is over Notre Dame, and this is why they're that high. Can they really turn around and say, well, in the end, we really think Notre Dame is better,
Do you not think they could do that? We've had another couple of weeks to look at it, and that game happened so long ago, and look what Notre Dame is on the season. Are you kidding? That could happen immediately. Why does it happen?
Here's a giant pile of money, Jason. Come on.
It is a pile of money.
You know how this works.
But you're out here telling you this is how good they are. And now Notre Dame, who's not really going to have another win that's going to say, oh, my God, Notre Dame.
Yeah, you ever do something where you've got Zoe or Pam or anybody else in your life, and in the moment, you know, all signs point to, you know what, all right, some of your logic is sound, so fine, we'll just do it. I think that's kind of where the committee might be this week, because everybody's just been moaning and complaining. Why isn't Cincinnati getting their just due, their undefeated? It's like, fine. Okay? It's Thanksgiving week. Everybody's going to pay attention to the dumpster fires that are happening across the NFL. So fine. You're in.
Yeah, but how could you?
And then a week later, it's like, as long as Notre Dame goes out and pounds Stanford, because Stanford's got a couple of great wins on their schedule. It's like,
they're,
you know,
3-8. Stanford's 3-8. They stink.
Right, but look at the teams they've beaten.
No, there's
no
way.
Notre Dame sneaking around the chicken coop, I'm telling you.
What are they going to say? But, you know, that win over Stanford is better than what we saw out of Cincinnati. I mean, no.
It's a reevaluation on the entire body of work. No, yeah. I can write the speech for Barter right now.
I wish you could see it. I wish I could see it, but boy, I really don't think they can do that.
You just
the fact
don't
that
want
they
to.
Push them up here. Oh no, I'd love to see it. It'd be awesome. And maybe Cincinnati would go, bah! But it's really difficult to see. After they're going to the wall about how big Cincinnati's win over Notre Dame is. And Notre Dame is not going to have a win between now and then to say, hey, this is what flipped it for us. Oh, you beat Stanford? Really? I mean,
right, but it's like the example with the kid. You acquiesce in the moment. Yeah, that sounds good. And then when it actually comes time, it's like, yeah, we've reevaluated. That's not reality. We can't do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Right now, not going the way of UCLA. At TJ, not going camping world, the right decision so far. The Bruins down 16-6. Early to Gonzaga, the game of the year in college basketball till this point. Drew Timmy's got 3 for Gonzaga, but it has been an onslaught so far in the first 5 minutes, and UCLA is really having difficulty having anything go down. They are 2 out of 10 from the floor, and I feel bad because I thought UCLA was going to win this game, and you still might, but boy, I tell you, I don't feel good about it right now. Eesh.
Buddy, we're 5.5 minutes into the game.
Relax. Yeah, I know, still, but boy, Gonzaga looks
16-8.
Really good.
You know, one of the things to mention, of course, you know, longtime college basketball analyst and an icon, and look, just like you've got the Bermans and the other impressions, everybody's got a Dick Vitale impression, so good to see him back, all the goodwill and love. I can't hear it, but, you know, everybody talking about the emotion in his voice and all the presentations and everything.
Oh,
so,
you could see him crying. The pageantry, you could see it was amazing. Yeah.
Right, the pageantry of college basketball, and at some points, you know, like we do the analysis, and obviously we got to talk about, you know, guys losing their jobs or being on the hot seat or people getting in trouble and all of those things. They all play together in our giant sports sandbox. But, you know, we also have to celebrate the good. And, you know, all the years that Vitale's raised money for cancer charities and his own battle that he's chronicled here these last couple of months, see him back on the sideline and all the pageantry and excitement there. You know, you can't help but get a little bit emotional because it is all one big family. We don't always get along. We may hate each other's takes at times, but in the end, we're all a part of a larger universe here. So good to see some positivity.
You know, I worked with him a little bit at ESPN when I was behind the scenes, and he's the same guy that he is on TV. I mean, that's what he, like, you know, they always say that about Dick Clark was the world's oldest teenager, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of Vitale and the emotion he has for life and for sports and college basketball. But the first time I met him, I was this is in college, and I was on the radio at Z89.
You were Jason Mason?
Fresh. Yes, when I was Jason Mason on the air at Z89. I emceed a Dick Vitale impression contest.
Really?
Because he was coming up, because Syracuse had a game against Georgetown, and they decided to put up a, we're going to have a Dick Vitale impression, and he and a couple of other people were going to award the winner. And so it was a bunch of, it was, you know, it was everybody that wanted to enter could enter. And then it was a Friday night before the game, and he came in for like the semifinals and was helping to judge. And so I had to sit here and go through, there's like 50 people that came in with Dick Vitale impressions, and they had to come all the way back to the end. And he comes in at the end. And look, everybody had heard Dick Vitale impressions for now like an hour and a half, right? It's like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I've heard bad Dick Vitale impressions. Because we go from 50 down, you know, down to 25, and that's like, okay. And nobody really came with more than just, he's a Windex player, baby. Oh, he's awesome, right? It was all the same things, right?
PT so beer, Windex.
Yeah. He's
diaper
a diaper dandy.
It's like seven or eight phrases. Yeah, if you were to buy the talking Dick Vitale bobblehead, you know what they are.
Yeah, oh, it was like after an hour and a half, it's like, oh my God, this is insane. But the crowd was just starting to get there because they knew, okay, 7:30 was when Dick Vitale is supposed to be there. So now they're showing up, and I'm like, okay, everybody there has like no energy because it's like, we just been here for an hour and a half listening to this. It's really difficult. So we get it down to like the final four, and then we announce Dick Vitale to come in. And it was me and my partner on the air, and we decided, okay, both of us wanted to say Dick Vitale's name. I said, I'll say the first part, you say the second part, and then we'll say, and now here's Dick Vitale, right?
So we wanted to battle about introducing the guy.
No, we didn't. We just figured out how to do it. He was my best friend. We were roommates, right? We were on the air together. It was great, right? And so I say my first part. He says the second part. And I go, and now everybody. And he goes, Dick Vitale. And Dick Vitale comes out, and the whole place goes crazy.
And he was no longer your best friend. And that's
looks
how
at me,
our relationship was forged.
And he looks at me and goes, I'm sorry. And I go, come on, man. We went over this. Not that it mattered because, oh, boy, you know, my voice didn't. But he said, hey, let's make sure we both do it together. And I said, great. And he just jumped in with Dick Vitale. And Dick Vitale comes in, and I was so mad at him. But then Vitale comes on, and he just starts doing his thing. And the roof just came off. He goes, I've been to Georgetown's bookstore. I've been to Seton Hall's bookstore. I've been to UConn's bookstore. There is nothing like Syracuse in this crowd right here, right now. And the place goes crazy. Meanwhile, I'm actually watching, and I'm 21 at the time, and I go, how much you want to bet he goes to Georgetown? And he goes, I've been to Syracuse's bookstore. I've been to St. John's. There's no bookstore like this. But the place just absolutely goes crazy over him. And he starts answering questions about players. Let's get on with it. I want to see who talks like me. Oh, let's go. And it was just the last like 20 minutes of that made the first hour and a half really palatable. And he stayed after, and he answered questions. He signed autographs. This is 30 years ago. And his popularity has stayed that way. This is 30 years ago, and Dick Vitale is still Dick Vitale. I mean, how difficult is that to be able to maintain your popularity from the beginning all the way to when you know people want to push you out? Because young executives come in their 40s and go, I want to be the one that replaces Chris Berman on primetime. I want to be the one that makes decisions, say, you know, we need other people, other voices on here. So let's get Trey Wingo, and let's get Susie Colbert, and I want to be the one that replaces Chris Berman, the institution, the guy that built ESPN from the ground up with his nicknames and everything else. I want to be the one. And no one's done that for Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale is still as popular as he was. And yes, you know his act by now, but the emphasis and enthusiasm he has for college basketball comes through every single time he talks. It doesn't matter. I like the games when he doesn't have a voice because it makes it more interesting. Going, what a dunk! Because he still can't try to protect his voice. He still has to go crazy with it. There is only one Dick Vitale. When you can have a run of 40 years of incredible popularity, hats off to you, man, because that's a really difficult thing to do.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We can have arguments and vehemently disagree on a lot of things. Again, it goes back to the nature of sports radio. You may like or not the stuff that comes out my mouth. Okay, yeah, I'm stealing from Chris Tucker a little bit there as I butcher that line. But the idea or what you say, but we appreciate y'all out there listening wherever you're at. You're taking time out of your schedule. You're hanging out at your house. You're at your job. You're on the road, whatever it is. We appreciate it. And then likewise with Dick Vitale, we're not going to agree with everything, but the guy's love of college basketball and youth can't be denied. Like those two things, the infectious energy on a college campus. So good to see him back. Now, hopefully he can transfer a little bit to UCLA so we actually have a game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today was a very strange day in the NFL because I thought for sure, okay, we're going to solve our problems and the Giants will trade Jason Garrett for Matt Nagy and everything's going to be fine, right? Who says no to that, right? You've heard the phrase in a trade, you got to give to get. This is one of those you got to get to give, right? I'll take Jason Garrett from you, but you got to take Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy, which we'll get to coming up in a few minutes, we find out, according to a few reports, many of the players want Matt Nagy gone as Bears head coach. But it was Jason Garrett who met the chopping block today as the Giants let go of their OC, something you kind of knew was coming after last night following the loss to the Bucks. Giants head coach Joe Judge was asked about Jason Garrett's future and said, I'm not going to talk about that right now. So you knew he was going to be fired. Look, this is change for change's sake. Right, that's all that's going on with the Giants right now. There's nothing going on that's going to suddenly turn them into a great team. Could they do things that will make them better? Yeah, but this is change for change's sake. Now you've promoted Freddie Kitchens to offensive coordinator. Look at Freddie Kitchens is back now. Hey, look at this. I'm climbing out of the dirt. I'm alive again. Freddie Kitchens, everybody.
But he gets to be a coordinator. How many times have we gone through this? All right, maybe you're not a head man, but you can run the show. And now you get creative. That's all you got. You got a blank page for the rest of the season. I dig it.
But here's the big fallout from this is that you knew this was going to happen. And Joe Judge knows that if we don't start winning, I'm going to get fired too. But if I fire Jason Garrett and we start winning, then they would think it's Jason Garrett's fault and I might get another year to be the Giants head coach. That's clearly what this is all about. Joe Judge knows if he just went down the road, they wouldn't say, well, it's Jason Garrett's fault. We love Joe Judge. No, it would be, hey, everybody's got to go. It's a Hail Mary. If we turn around the season a little bit and the offense gets a little bit of life to it and we can win some games, maybe I stay and get to do one more year. But that's what this is really all about. Because honestly, this is headed to, like we told you last night, the Giants are going to clean house after this season, right? Dave Gettleman's going to be out. Joe Judge is going to be out. Daniel Jones is going to be out. There's going to be new people at all of those positions. And it's going to be a great place in the offseason because it will be then a destination where you can come in and join on the ground floor of a new venture. You don't have to worry about coming in and working under a GM that you don't really like, or here's a head coach, he's coming in, he's got 1 year left, you don't know if you want to keep him or not. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a clean sweep, and it's going to be that kind of destination that the Giants will be very quickly. Again, it will happen really fast once the Giants clear everybody out. Now, in the meantime, look, if they get back to some a little bit of unpredictability, have a little life and creativity in the offense, and you get back to Daniel Jones being the guy he was the beginning of the season when you actually allowed him to run the football and had some design placement, allowed him to make plays with his legs, get outside the pocket, because that's kind of what Daniel Jones does. He's kind of like a poor man's Josh Allen a little bit. I mean, you look at the games where the offense is humming. Daniel Jones has 7, 8, 9 carries. Daniel Jones has 3 carries and the Giants get thumped. That's kind of what it is. So if you do that, you can at least have a little bit of excitement and make the offense a little bit better, and Freddie Kitchens will get a lot of credit for that. But that's really all you're thinking about right now, because the Giants, they're just circling the drain, and you're just waiting until the end of the season and say, okay, Dave Gettleman, you're gone. Joe Judge, you're gone. Daniel Jones, thank you. We're going to Sam Darnold trade you to somewhere else, and we're going to go do something else at quarterback now. We're going to go get Russell Wilson. We're going to go try to make a play for Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be that kind of offseason where the Giants will control a lot of dominoes, because then, very quickly, the Giants will be a destination for everybody.
Well, where this gets difficult as you look at this season as it's unraveled, there are 3 wins: New Orleans on the road, Carolina, and Vegas. 3 teams that on the whole you say they're above the fold, right? And Vegas, well, doing their normal swoon, so perhaps they don't stay there, and perhaps they've already dipped under. But teams that have actually had some success. So then you look at you're losing close games, right? You lose by a point to Washington. You lose by a point or by a field goal to Atlanta. Games field goal at Kansas City. What do bad teams, we always start with, you lose close games, right? Bad teams, you know, are the Jets, and those are terrible teams, right? They're on the wide end of the spectrum. Bad teams are those that can't get out of their own way, and that's what we're seeing time and again. But I guess you couldn't fire him after they win 2 of 3, right? Because you win at home against Carolina, you lose that close one at Kansas City, and then you have a 7-point win against Vegas at home, and then you have the bye week. So I guess that's one of those question marks. Like, if you really weren't getting along, then wouldn't that have been the time to say beat it as opposed to today? Like, that's the larger question for me. Like, all right, I get it. The sword of Damocles is there. Losing to Tampa that you knew after a couple of straight losses were going to come out and punch you in the mouth, that's the game that's suddenly going to be the one. By the way, Daniel Jones threw a hell of a pass to an offensive lineman.
He did.
I mean, how do you not give him credit for putting it where the bear paws could get around it?
That's where Jason Garrett stands up and says, I called that. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I called that play.
But we saw their exchanges on the sidelines yesterday, right? How many times did they cut to when Daniel Jones and Jason Garrett were sitting there? And then Joe Judge in the postgame all but said it. Like, if you've already decided it, just say it right then. Because then you take the stink off of the game. Well, like, and right, he's gone, and we're moving forward.
And that's the reason why it was this game, because what do we always say? When something happens on prime time in a night game, and it's the only game everybody is watching, all the results are magnified. They're tripled than what it would be on an average. If this was a generic Sunday and the Giants lost to Tampa 30-10, you could move on. But when you know the spotlight's going to be on, what kind of plays are you calling when you have three receivers in the same area for the football, when you watch Daniel Jones throw really bad interceptions, you watch bad body language, everything gets magnified, and that's why this let this happen. Right, it was no surprise, and you knew Joe Judge when he came to the press conference after, but because that's the way it goes. You suck on national television, heads always are going to roll. You suck on at 4:15 on a Sunday when you're opposite Cowboys Chiefs, no one's really going to care as much. Yeah. It's just how it works.
No, obviously the two interceptions last night might have been, I mean, let's rank the worst interceptions we've seen this year. Matt Stafford's still one from the end zone.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones might be number two.
Yeah, well, the other is that you had a couple of plays that got ISO'd of him throwing while moving backwards. And then just trying to whip this person. So, you know, it's usually easier when you put your 240 pounds through the ball.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. So it's going to be kind of like A Few Good Men when Kevin Bacon gives the speech. It'll be entertaining, but in the end, Dawson and Downey are dead. Or Santiago's dead, and Dawson and Downey did it. Right? That's what it's going to be.
Took them down.
Hey, this is great. You changed Jason Garrett and fired him, but in the end, Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge are getting fired, and Daniel Jones is getting replaced. Those are the facts. Coming up next, if you ever hear the phrase that fans don't matter and can't make a difference in an NFL coach's career, we got something that says the exact opposite. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. It is not pretty right now between Gonzaga and UCLA. I told you I wasn't feeling good. I picked UCLA to win. I should not have done that. The Zags lead at 33-16. With 4 minutes to go before halftime, so not exactly what the Bruins had in mind. We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes as they push that lead now out to 20 after a 3. But Jason Garrett got fired earlier today. I thought they would just trade Jason Garrett for Matt Nagy. That didn't happen. But the Chicago Bears continue to show, hey, when you want to talk about dysfunction, we put the D in it. After myriad reports that have come out the last couple of days about how Chicago players want Matt Nagy gone as their head coach, right? You've heard this. At least half the locker room is done with Matt Nagy. They want him out. Fans are chanting fire Nagy at the United Center. They were chanting fire Nagy at Nagy's son's football game last weekend.
That's where it gets bad. That was the student section that did that.
Oh, man. There was people, I saw a report read today, this is fascinating, following it where people were saying, hey, I was just in the supermarket, and in the produce section, everybody broke into a fire Nagy chant. So look at businesses. People are just going, fire Nagy. Fire Nagy. I mean, it's insane. It's taken over. And there are now, I don't want to say there is a likelihood, but there is the possibility that Matt Nagy will be out as head coach following the Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions. Nagy was actually put in front of the press corps today and was asked about that possibility in front of the whole world, when clearly the Bears could have helped him out by saying, hey, dude, listen, let's have a conversation before you go out there and talk to everybody.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not... You know, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. We have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about, you know, we have constant communication with the bye week and then with the short turnaround with game prep. We have not.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach the rest of the season?
Say that again.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach?
Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's it.
We're scheduled. It's been scheduled. As you know, there's been a big schedule, and well, we're not scheduled to not talk. You know, anyway, everything is fine. I'm still the head coach. The Bears could have done a little bit better. They could have helped the guy out a little bit by saying, hey, listen, you're going to get these questions. Let's talk before you go out there and talk to the press and get our – but no. They let him go out there answering these questions with zero communication. So you know they're going to fire him. All right, you know what's happening. It's just, are they firing him after Thursday, or are they going to wait a little bit longer? And this is now the only question left in Chicago. It's just a matter of time. Because when fans and the overwhelming desire they have is known through things like the chance of fire Nagy at basketball games across the city, when the fans have had it as one, a change has to come. And that's something that coaches and GMs, everybody knows. When the entire fan base is incredibly fed up, these are the people that are buying tickets, coming, consuming your product. This is when a change has to be made. Not always you listen to the fans, but when it's so overwhelming like this, Mike, on one side, it's we can't ignore it and have to do something about it.
Well, I certainly don't respond to the fickle nature of fans. Same folks, I mean, playoffs 2 or 3 years, ugly ends, and certainly last year is like, hey, we've got a 7th spot. You guys want it? Yeah, we'll back into it. But, you know, I'd never want to see folks lose their job on the personal side, right? Obviously, we're in a business that is mercurial in the decision-making at times, and, you know, there's a lot that goes on. But and sometimes, you know, head-scratching. But certainly for coaching, you hit a point where you're effusive with praise for one guy and then clearly get the message that it's got to go the other way, right? How much Matt Nagy was Andy Dalton. Now he's gone the other way. Yeah, as soon as he's healthy, I mean, Justin Fields is our guy. No matter if Andy Dalton goes and plays well, it gets a win against Detroit, whatever else. I mean, they're going to rush Justin Fields back onto the field. And then at no point do you ever feel like there's a clear message coming down.
They put the D in dysfunction to those Chicago Bears. We'll have more on this coming up, but straight ahead, a big opinion about the NFL that a lot of people share that we don't, Fox.